burn these sheets down to the seams. Written by Ruining Everything. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Mo Dao Zu Shi, or The Untamed. Rating, explicit. Relationships, Lan Wangji, Wei Wuxian. Jiang Cheng, Nie Hui Song. Jiang Cheng, Nie Hui Song, Wei Wuxian. Also tagged for Cloud Recesses Study Arc, Aphrodisiacs, Everyone Can Have a Little Makeout as a Treat, Hui Song's Best Life, Wei Yang and the No Good, Very Bad Repeated Accidental Cock Blocking by the Twin Jades, and Jiang Cheng trying to be the only adult in the room and mostly failing. Part 2 of the Problematic Cloud Recesses Disciple Shenanigans series.
Let's go all the way tonight. No regrets, just love. We can dance until we die. You and I will be young forever. You make me feel like I'm living a teenage dream. The way you turn me on, I can't sleep. Let's run away.
Nie Hui Song. Hui Song checks his provisions carefully before setting out. Peanuts, incense, fan. No drawings. Jiang Cheng is on probation and is not allowed to borrow any new pornography until he gives the last set back, without any more of Wei Wuxian's commentary in the margins. Respecting belongings of others is in the Lan rulebook. In the boring part, in the final third, that Hui Song's mind refuses to fully memorize. Somewhere between the part about ethical treatment of war prisoners and the part about bowing four times to your vegetables, or whatever it is the Lan table manners require. Hui Song hopes to never need to know about the former, and to return to a life of gossiping over platters of sizzling chicken as soon as possible. Still, it's in there somewhere, so Hui Song feels entirely justified in instituting his new, stricter policy on his lending library. It's not actually terribly difficult to move around the cloud recesses at night. Everyone who lives there is so firmly assured about the right way of things that it doesn't occur to them that anyone might be strolling through the gardens on the way to a party. If he walks quickly and keeps his eyes down, they'll assume he's on an important errand, delivering or fetching for one of the older lawn cultivators. Wei Wuxian seems to have the worst luck. He gets caught fighting like an angry cat on the rooftops with Lan Wangji every few days. But then, he's very bad at keeping out of the center of any situation. And Lan Wangji is very bad at not watching him. Whatever they're dancing around, Hui Song wants no part of it. He stays off the roofs and avoids unnecessary attention, and taps at the code when he arrives at the right door. Wei Wuxian yanks him inside with a deeply unnecessary amount of force, and Hui Song swats him away. "Yunmeng boys are so rude," he says, making sure it's loud enough for Jiang Cheng to hear across the room. "So grabby." "Don't paint the rest of us with Wei Wuxian's sins," Jiang Cheng grumbles. He waves a hand at Hui Song in what passes for a cheerful manner. "See if I share anything nice with you two," Hui Song snipes back, but he's already moving to spread out his party contributions on the low table, even as Wei Wuxian does another round of the room to make sure the doors and windows are sufficiently covered up. Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng have already set out a few bottles of Emperor's Smile, and some of the little cakes that Wei Wuxian charms from the kitchen workers. Huaisang places the packet of peanuts alongside, and then unrolls the three little stacks of charmed incense. "This one's for studying," he says, pushing it towards Jiang Cheng. "It'll help with clarity and concentration." Huaisang himself uses it to stay up late painting without regretting it in the morning. But probably a responsible person could use it for scholarly pursuits. The second one has been a bit of a letdown thus far. "This one's supposed to be calming, but it just made me hiccup. Maybe I'm too calm already. Let me know if it does anything more interesting for you." Wei Wuxian grabs that one, and Huaisang decides not to wonder whether Lan Qiren is destined for a case of irritating, inexplicable hiccups in the near future. "And here's my pride and joy." The last handful of incense drops next to the bottles with a rustle. It's an odd, dark color, like something already burned, and pungent even unlit. Huaisang's already experimented with it on his own and knows the scent is even stronger when lit. They all stare at it for a moment, and then Wei Wuxian shrugs and reaches for the cups. "Wine first?" "Yes, please." Huaisang folds himself down to the ground and reaches for the peanuts to start untying the package strings. He settles in to hear about Jiang Cheng's latest letter from home while Wei Wuxian begins to pour with his usual heavy hand. Jiang Cheng. "It's for experimental rigor," Wei Wuxian argues, waving a hand dangerously close to one of the candles to emphasize the point. Jiang Cheng stares at him for a long moment before asking, "Then why are we already drinking?" That earns him a shrug and an offhanded, "I forgot." Wei Wuxian reaches over to poke him in the shoulder. "But if you're gonna be stubborn about it, we could try to do the sobriety thing, the core thing that the Lan do. But what a waste of good wine! I worked so hard to smuggle that in!" Nie Huaisang snickers, earning him a poke of his own, and motions to both of them. "Stop fighting and come over here. The sooner we get you both in a good mood, the better." Jiang Cheng stays put and pours himself another cup of wine to drink more slowly. Let Nie Huaisang and Wei Wuxian start things off. That's how it usually goes, anyway. Wei Wuxian likes kissing more than anything else, and it's no hardship to watch for a while and then join in later. Wei Wuxian can be sweet when he wanted to. On his way to Nie Huaisang, he bends down and tips Jiang Cheng's head up to kiss him once, very gently. It's a soft, sweet promise of a kiss, without a sliver of mischief behind it. And then he's off to drop abruptly into Nie Huaisang's lap. Jiang Cheng smiles into his cup and says nothing. "There," Wei Wuxian announces once he's made himself comfortable, over Nie Huaisang's squeak of protest at the sprawl of long limbs he's suddenly found himself accommodating. "Now, Huaisang, get me in the mood." Jiang Cheng watches and sips his wine slowly as Nie Huaisang and Wei Wuxian kiss. It isn't the first time he's seen it, or even the fifth, but it's still new enough to be intriguing. Maybe it will be intriguing if he sees it 1,000 times. It takes so little to get Wei Wuxian to wriggle and make small, wanting noises. Nie Huaisang is quieter, until he isn't, from past experience. But it will take more than this. But intense about everything he does. His hands are deliberate, placed just so to hold Wei Wuxian still, while Wei Wuxian appears to have 4 or 5 hands at any given time, to be grasping desperately for anything that any of them might hold on to. He's kissed both of them enough before to know what it feels like to be on either end of those kisses. Memory and wine would have been enough to heat his skin, even if he didn't have the visual. But he does, and his skin prickles. He shifts in his seat, restless with being the only one in the room not being touched. Jiang Cheng waits until Nie Huaisang starts using his tongue, until Wei Wuxian bites at his lip and starts to pant, and then he claps his hands once, sharp, and watches them startle apart. enough science. He hopes it's enough science. The tension breaks and scatters like a strand of beads. And Wei Wuxian laughs, burying his face for a moment in Nie Huaisang's shoulder. Enough science, he agrees, and scrambles up to his feet. Almost enough. You should kiss me too, but we can do that while Huaisang gets the incense going. Zheng Cheng complains mildly about being an afterthought, but without any real annoyance behind it. He opens his arms and Wei Wuxian comes to him, smiling and already easy with warm, relaxed delight. The incense isn't really for him, Jiang Cheng supposes. Wei Wuxian relaxes into these games without a moment's thought. It's Jiang Cheng, and, he suspects, Nie Huaisang, who always seems to be slightly too aware of the picture he makes, who needs the help to turn off the relentless undercurrents of his thoughts. Wei Wuxian, Jiang Cheng thinks, feeling a knot in his stomach made of several tangled strands. Jealousy, admiration, a fierce delight was made for this. He tastes of wine and his mouth opens to Jiang Cheng easily now. He kisses Jiang Cheng long and slow, as if there were no other destination and no one watching. When they break apart for breath, he keeps his face close, holding the rest of the world at bay. You've gotten very good at this, Ah Cheng, he murmurs right up against Jiang Cheng's lips. It's probably intentional that he swallows any protest that Jiang Cheng might have made with another kiss immediately. He's smiling. Jiang Cheng can feel the arc of Wei Wuxian's mouth pressed against his own. Incorrigible, he thinks, and scrapes a thumbnail hard down the back of Wei Wuxian's neck for the mean pleasure of feeling him shiver. Nie Huaisang hasn't wasted time. The first tendrils of incense smoke, pungent and spiced, creep in around them. Jiang Cheng holds Wei Wuxian around the waist so he can lean out into it if he wishes, which he clearly does, leaning back against Jiang Cheng's hold, eyes closing to focus on breathing it in. Jiang Cheng keeps his eyes on Wei Wuxian, the flutter of his eyelashes, the line of his arm, while complaining to Nie Huaisang. What the hell, he says, even as he watches Wei Wuxian's chest rise and fall, picturing the smoke curling up inside him like a cat. This isn't exactly subtle. Won't they smell it outside? Nie Huaisang shrugs, an elegant little motion Jiang Cheng catches from the corner of his eye, even though his attention was elsewhere. If your window coverings are good, it should be fine, he says. No one will come this way anyway. It's nearly lawn bedtime. Jiang Cheng looks away from Wei Wuxian in time to see Nie Huaisang grin at him and wield his fan expertly enough to drive the column of smoke away from himself and directly at Jiang Cheng. Too late to worry now, he supposes. Wei Wuxian. The fragrance hadn't been anything to write poetry about at first, but Wei Wuxian finds he likes it as it gets stronger. It will cling to their hair, he thinks, their skin. They'll be able to smell it on themselves tomorrow. The smoke slides over him like hands. He likes hands so much, always, but definitely right now. Hands are great. Hands are fun. He'd wiggled his way out from between Jiang Cheng and Huaisang after several lazy minutes of kissing them each in turn, letting Huaisang push his dick slowly against Wei Wuxian's thigh, petting Jiang Cheng everywhere he could reach. He wouldn't want Jiang Cheng like this all the time. He likes them fighting, knows how to read love in his crankiest tones. But he's fun like this, soft and a little needy. Wei Wuxian likes to make him feel good. It's fun to get his fingers into Jiang Cheng's hair and rub along the sensitive places at the base of his skull until he goes boneless. He never pulls. He leaves that for Huaisang, who does it enough for both of them. But after a while, Huaisang's incense had started to make itself felt more strongly, setting up a low hum in his body that made him restless. He's not quite sure what it is that it's making him want. It's all right, though. They have all night to figure it out. Meanwhile, moving out from between them was good. It had let them put Jiang Cheng in the middle, where Wei Wuxian can lean over his shoulder and snuggle companionably up against his back. He can cage Jiang Cheng in, make him feel good and protected, can touch both of them all he wants. And sometimes they reach over and run hands over his arms or thigh, and he can watch as Huaisang bites a really mean mark up high on Jiang Cheng's neck. It will show tomorrow. Jiang Cheng will be so mad. But tonight, he just lets out a soft moan that Wei Wuxian feels in his own body, pressed up against them like that. It's a great sound. Wei Wuxian's hips jerk at it, pressing his increasingly interested cock up against Jiang Cheng more firmly. Huaisang, Wei Wuxian says, chuckling when Huaisang makes an inquisitive sound, but doesn't actually stop worrying Jiang Cheng's neck between his teeth. He'll be annoyed. Huaisang lets go of Jiang Cheng's neck with a giggle. He must be feeling it too. Even for him, that was an exceedingly silly sound. And licks the spot once, as if to ease the sting. Jiang Cheng squeaks, and Wei Wuxian strokes his arm soothingly. If we never did anything that annoyed Acheng, we'd never have any fun, Huaisang says. Wei Wuxian, this was your idea, you know. Don't lose your nerve now. Was it? Wei Wuxian isn't actually sure that's true, but it's hard to remember just then. Things outside the immediate moment seem to be receding in importance by the instant. Jiang Cheng makes an irritated little huffing sound and says, I'm right here. He pinches Huaisang to emphasize the point, and Huaisang gasps theatrically. Wei Wuxian takes the opportunity to slip his hand inside Jiang Cheng's robes, where his body warmth is trapped against his skin, burning and lovely. He spreads his fingers out experimentally to see how much of Jiang Cheng he can touch at once, skimming a nipple with a fingertip as he goes, and watches Jiang Cheng's jaw twitch. You sure are, he says, and tries to bury a laugh in Jiang Cheng's hair and the soft fabric of his robe. It won't do to let him think he's being laughed at when it isn't that at all. Just a wild joy spreading like fire under Wei Wuxian's skin. What do you want to do? He asks, his words muffled against Jiang Cheng, so he has to repeat them. Acheng, we could... But he doesn't get to finish the thought. That is, unfortunately, when the paper man he'd set to lurk unobtrusively outside comes scooting under the door and flutters wildly over to him to tell him what's outside. Lan Chan? His voice must have come out louder than he'd intended it to, too close to Jiang Cheng's ear. Jiang Cheng flinches away and rolls half on top of Huaisang. It's not all bad. It lets Wei Wuxian get his arm back to stand up and try desperately to straighten his robes and hide the state of himself underneath. Lan Chan is heading their way. Wei Wuxian's gonna have to, well, to do something. Lan Chan can't walk into this. He would never. He didn't even look twice at Huaisang's perfectly good pornography. He stares at the paper man as if it might tell him what to do. It sways gently and then lays down on his palm, its mission discharged and all the life gone out of it. Behind him, Jiang Cheng hisses something. Huaisang murmurs back, and Wei Wuxian can't quite make either of them out. It isn't for his ears. He's been abandoned. Help is not forthcoming. He tugs at his robe one more time and heads for the door. Lan Wangji. The rooftops are quiet. Observing them reveals only moonlight and a stray bird. It's as it should be. Lan Wangji tells himself firmly. It is not disappointment that shadowed him through the gardens. He pretends not to have a destination in mind. It doesn't fool his feet, which carry him where they were always going to. He only has a moment to register that something isn't right. There isn't enough light from the windows, as if they're covered over with heavy draperies. Before he can decide whether to be concerned, the door slides open just enough for Wei Ying to slip out and shut it firmly behind him. He's already smiling before his eyes land on Lan Wangji. So the smile isn't for him, not really. It must be one of Wei Ying's endless supply of secret jokes. Lan Wangji feels it like physical contact anyway. Lan-chan, have you come to check up on us? We're behaving, as you can see. What Lan Wangchi can see as he comes closer is that Wei Ying's color is as hectic as his voice. He looks too flushed for a reasonably cool night. Feverish, as if he would be warm to touch. Wei Ying, he finds himself asking, are you well? Wei Ying's laugh is sharp and jangly, discordant. I'm great, he says. So good. Just terrific, really. Very normal. Everything's good. Something is very wrong inside, clearly. Lan Wangchi steals himself to investigate and moves towards the door. Wei Ying takes an odd sideways step to block his path and grabs at Lan Wangchi's arm. His fingers hold tight, rumpling Lan Wangchi's sleeve. They squeeze his forearm once, convulsive. Don't, he says. It's very nearly a plea, and then his words start tumbling out quickly. You won't. Just don't. You already know what's in there. I brought in the wine while you were meditating this time, but we drank it all. There's nothing to confiscate. Please just go home. You can scold us in the morning. Lan Wangchi stares. This is an unusual amount of distress for Wei Ying to be displaying over being caught with Emperor's smile. He's starting to get worried. I'll be very penitent tomorrow, Wei Ying goes on. I promise. We'll all apologize very prettily. I won't even cry if you have to punish me. I mean, unless Lan Honor requires it. I can cry if you want me to, Lan Chan. Lan Wangji desperately needs Wei Ying to stop casually saying things like that, which are ruining his concentration and his sleep and possibly his life. But there is absolutely no proper way to explain that. And anyway, he's distracted by a sound from inside. An odd cry. Jiang Cheng must also be unwell. Perhaps the two of them have finally found an amount of wine that even they cannot consume safely. Perhaps the wine was tainted somehow. Let me in, Wei Ying, he says firmly. They are his guests. If they need medical attention, he has a responsibility. He is not going to let Wei Ying's brother die from forbidden intoxicants while he stands outside the door. Wei Ying plasters himself firmly against the door and rubs one hand over his face. Fine, he groans. Ugh, I can't believe you're making me tell you this, Lan Chan. It's not just wine. He goes even more red. He stumbles through an explanation that would cause Lan Wangji's uncle to drop dead on the spot if he heard it. As Lan Wangji begins to understand, he decides immediately that Lan Chiren can never know, both for his own health and because Lan Wangji would not want to say the necessary words out loud in front of him. He wants Wei Ying. He wants Wei Ying to keep saying those words. Wei Ying says, kissing and, you know. And Lan Wangji's brain stutters. He misses the next part because he's thinking about the shape of Wei Ying's mouth forming the word kissing. He's thinking that Wei Ying has been kissing. He's thinking about Wei Ying liking kissing, planning for it, maybe giving Hui Sung money to pay for the incense that would make him want to. Lan Wangji is never going to recover from this conversation. Wei Ying has run down, finally, and is staring at him with a sort of wild desperation. Lan Wangji is vaguely aware that the words, "So it's fine, you can go," are hanging in the air, half-heeded. Wei Ying is waiting for Lan Wangji to go, but he is also still clutching at his arm. Shameless, Lan Wangji says, and cannot help seeing Wei Ying's throat work. It is at least as indecent as anything that might be occurring behind the closed door. Wei Ying does not let go of Lan Wangji's arm. Lan Wangji suspects he doesn't even realize he's still holding on. Lan Wangji thinks about turning on his heel and going back to his room and forgetting this conversation ever happened. They are fine. They do not need his help. Once he rounds the corner and Wei Ying is out of his sight, the path will be quiet and dark again. The moon will be full. It will once again be the kind of tranquil, lovely night that poetry is written about. It will be the kind of walk Lan Wangji used to take before the disciples came. The kind of walk he will be able to take again every night once Wei Ying is gone. There will be no reason to look up at the rooftops and so much wasted moonlight. His stomach twists unpleasantly. Wei Ying is still waiting for Lan Wangji to do something. He could have stepped back inside and barred the door to Lan Wangji. He has not. Something breaks in Lan Wangji, nearly a physical sensation of release, and he thinks that he is glad.
Wei Ying,
Lan Wangji asks, feeling lighter with every word. So light he might float away if it were not for Wei Ying's hand on him.
Would you accept more company?
Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian makes Lan Chan kiss him on the steps before he will let him inside, dizzy with the strangeness of the evening. He needs to know, before he takes Lan Chan inside, that this isn't just... that Lan Chan wants. Lan Chan's kiss is clumsy and sweet, different from the familiar press of Huaisang's tongue or Jiang Cheng's sharp bite. He keeps a distance that is very nearly decorous. Wei Wuxian wants to grab him and press him against the wall so hard he'll have marks from it tomorrow. The fresh air has helped to clear his head a little, but his legs feel shaky, as if the ground is shifting underneath him in some profound way.
Lan Chan,
he says carefully, trying not to break whatever incomprehensible thing is happening here. Please come in with me. I want to do that again. I want to do that so much. But I don't want your family to murder me for defiling a good lawn boy right out in the open. Lan Chan makes the most helpless little noise. It might be a laugh. Wei Wuxian has never heard him laugh. He wants to hear it again. Maybe wants to live in it. He fumbles behind him for the door and draws Lan Chan inside. Jiang Cheng, half undressed, yells and clutches his robe back up around his shoulders. Nie Huaisang goes extremely wide-eyed and gives Wei Wuxian a look that says, "You are going to tell me everything about this later." And Lan Chan just stands there next to Wei Wuxian, head up like he's not even a little embarrassed now that he's made up his mind. Wei Wuxian decides he is only going to survive this by throwing himself at it headlong. He flops his hand at his friends and tells them, "Stop staring, you degenerates. Stay over there and do whatever you were doing." Jiang Cheng looks extremely unimpressed by this, and when he turns his back on them, it gives the distinct impression that he's sending a message. He tackles Nie Huaisang again, and they go down in a flurry of limbs. Wei Wuxian dares a glance at Lan Chan to see if he's appalled, but he's not even looking. He's only looking at Wei Wuxian, steady and calm, but he's breathing fast and shallow, and Wei Wuxian thinks, the smoke, it's inside Lan Chan now, which is unfairly hot. He's never thought those words all in a row before, inside Lan Chan, and now he doesn't see how he's ever going to think about anything else. He wishes the incense burned gold or red or anything, as long as he could really see it wreathing Lan Chan's head, so he'd know when it reached all the way inside him, and when Lan Chan starts to feel anything like Wei Wuxian does, like he might die if they don't kiss again soon.
You will not die,
Lan Chan says. Apparently Wei Wuxian is just narrating his entire thought process. At some point, he's going to be very embarrassed about this. Right now, he needs to get back to the kissing. I might, he says. I honestly might. Come save my life. Lan Chan makes the noise again. That breathy thing that might be a laugh. It's so good. Wei Wuxian has never been prouder of anything. If he makes Lan Chan laugh a third time, it will be the crowning achievement of his life. He semi-bullies Lan Chan across the room, and they end up sitting on the floor next to the bed. Jiang Cheng stops licking Nie Huaisang's nipples long enough to throw a cushion down to them with a muttered, "Take this, asshole," which Wei Wuxian chooses to interpret as a peace offering. He props it behind Lan Chan's back so he'll be comfortable leaning up against the wall. Wei Wuxian is plenty comfortable already,
Lan Chan makes a great cushion. Wei Wuxian may never sit anywhere other than his lap again. It will cause a stir in class. He absolutely does not care. That earlier sensation of restlessness, wanting something without specifics, crystallizes into a ruthless clarity that this is what he wants. He wants to sit on Lan Chan's lap and make out until they both cry. Oh, God, maybe he could sit on Lan Chan's dick someday. Here, or in class, wherever, literally anywhere Lan Chan would let him. He absolutely cannot say that out loud, or he will die. So instead, he leans in and kisses Lan Chan again. He tries to make it a kiss that says, I cannot believe you are touching me, and I am so glad, and we should do this forever, and also it would be really hot if you fucked me in the library. Which is maybe a lot to pin on a second kiss. It works, though. Lan Chan's hands come up to take a firm grip on his hips, which is amazing. And he's almost sure that the third kiss, which Lan Chan starts, goes something like, even though you are breaking 16 rules and I am going to have to punish you for it eventually, I will make it a very sexy punishment, and although I will never fuck you in the library, we might be able to compromise on the armory or one of the music rooms.
Possibly the incense has given him telepathy, or maybe they are just really, really good at kissing each other. He might be losing his mind about it, a little bit. He devotes himself to teaching Lan Chan about kissing with tongues, which turns out to be another thing they are very good at. This is the best night. He is having the best time. He gets brave enough after a few minutes to put his hand between them. Lan Chan doesn't complain when he touches his chest, so he slides down. Lower. Lower still. Lan Chan's stomach ripples under his hand. He gets his hand on Lan Chan's dick. Holy shit! He gets his hand on Lan Chan's dick! And Lan Chan gasps and kisses him even harder, suddenly ferocious, like he's just figured out what bodies are for. It's so hot. Wei Wuxian is... he's gone. He's so gone on this. He might never come back. It's fine. What a valorous way to die. There is no one else he'd rather be killed by. Sweetheart, he says, brave and stupid, and what if Lan Chan hates it? But he can immediately tell that he doesn't. Will you sit up on the bed? Lan Chan nods and moves up onto the bed. His posture is perfect, but his hands give him away where they're clutching at the mattress. His eyes are wide and very dark as he looks down at Wei Wuxian, still on the floor. Wei Wuxian takes a deep breath and makes his way closer, uses his shoulders to make a place for himself between Lan Chan's thighs, touches Lan Chan's cock again through his pants, deliberate, a friendly squeeze. He is going to make this so good, Lan Chan will come back, so he'll want to do this again, even when Wei Wuxian is no longer a novelty. He sets his head on Lan Chan's knee for just a moment and smiles up at him, trying to reassure the slight nervousness he sees somewhere in the back of Lan Chan's expression. It's okay, he says. I promise I know how to do this. Lan Chan nods again, slowly. He is so still. Wei Wuxian wonders what it would take to get Lan Chan to forget his stillness. There are so many hours until morning. He has so many ideas for ways to find out. He reaches for the tie on Lan Chan's pants. This is, of course, when Lan Xichen interrupts them all and drags Lan Chan away from Wei Wuxian's hands and mouth and wicked intentions. Wei Wuxian nearly goes running after them. Only the knowledge that Jiang Cheng would never speak to him again prevents it. If Lan Chan ever agrees to do this again, Wei Wuxian is going to set a second paperman to watch. A third. He is going to take Lan Chan to an inn somewhere at least a day's travel from any other Lan. He is going to build a fortress without any doors and ravish Lan Chan inside where no one can interrupt. Right now, he thinks he might cry instead. Jiang Cheng. Jiang Cheng is absolutely mortified. He is never going to be able to look Lan Xichen in the eye again. Even though he thinks he managed to fasten his outer robe before Lan Xichen saw anything. Still,
They are going to be sect leaders together one day, and every time they look at each other across a negotiation, he knows they are both going to remember Lan Xichun dragging his brother away from Jiang Cheng's brother like a naughty puppy being scruffed, while Jiang Cheng tried to find a way to sit to hide his erection. The funny thing is, though, that while he knows all this, it's still behind a layer of protective haze. He's still fuzzy between the wine and the incense and the fact that Huaisang is in one of his moods where he doesn't actually want to let either of them get off for ages. So it's been all slow torture for what feels like hours. That makes Jiang Cheng go a little fuzzy even without other substances in the mix. Tomorrow, when he can think clearly, it's going to be very, very bad. Right now, it's kind of funny. Wei Wuxian looks so offended. Nie Huaisang and Jiang Cheng collapse into a fit of hysterical laughter at his expression, until Wei Wuxian can only laugh too. He gives up and throws the cushion back at them, and then climbs onto the bed after it with a despairing groan. Oh my god! Nie Huaisang gasps against Jiang Cheng's shoulder, nearly cackling. We're going to get murdered. We have to run away tonight and take new identities. We're going to be outlaws. I didn't pack for this. Wei Wuxian says, wild-eyed. I can't run away. I touched his dick, Huaisang. They won't let me live. They're going to bury me under the mountain and no one will ever find my bones. Jiang Cheng tries to get some sort of handle on the situation because clearly no one else is going to. He gets Nie Huaisang to snuff out the incense, since they clearly are all plenty high enough, and makes Wei Wuxian set another watcher at the door. But a few minutes go by, and no one else comes. And when the hilarity recedes, what's left is still the hot itch under Jiang Cheng's skin, and the soft place where Nie Huaisang's neck and shoulder meet, and the way Wei Wuxian looks a little lost, like he needs someone to gather him up. We could still, he starts. Nie Huaisang's teeth are so sharp-looking when he grins that particular grin. Jiang Cheng ends up on his back with his feet planted firmly on either side of Nie Huaisang, who finally takes pity on him and decides it's nearly time for him to come. Nie Huaisang licks him back to full hardness, slowly, before taking as much of Jiang Cheng's cock in his mouth as he can. Jiang Cheng would muffle his moan with his hands, but he can't. Wei Wuxian has them. Sometimes Wei Wuxian kisses him when they do this. Jiang Cheng likes that, both of their mouths on him, moving in and out of sync. Tonight, though, Wei Wuxian has Jiang Cheng's head in his lap, and he's holding his wrists together with one hand, using the other to stroke Jiang Cheng's hair or his face, or occasionally run a finger across his lips and then dip it inside, for Jiang Cheng to mouth at. But he doesn't kiss Jiang Cheng again. Jiang Cheng thinks briefly and wildly that he hates that. He knows Wei Wuxian is, what, waiting for Lan Wangji to come back? Saving something for him? But it's hard to hold the thought. It slips away in the heat of Nie Huaisang's tongue, working him in all the ways they all know he likes it, and Wei Wuxian's voice telling him he is beautiful and good. He can't even worry that much about the shout he makes when he finally, Nie Huaisang is a demon sent to torture him personally, comes. It's not as if there's anything to hide now that apparently the entire Lan sect lurks outside his window at all hours of the night. Presumably everyone in the cloud recesses will know by morning. He watches Nie Huaisang sit up to bat ineffectually at his disastrous hair, and somehow feels both as though something is tipping permanently off balance, and as if everything is very, very good. Nie Huaisang. Huaisang makes Wei Wuxian help rub the sex crick out of his neck, but then he offers to let him pick what happens next. He's had a weird night, the poor guy. Lan Wangji dangled in front of him like a delicious treat and then snatched away. He should have something nice if he wants it. But in the end, Wei Wuxian decides he wants to sit back and watch. It's not unusual. They've done it like this before. And it's his loss, really. Huaisang moves to kiss him in thanks for the neck rub, but he reads the slight twitch of Wei Wuxian's face and pivots quickly to a kiss on the cheek instead. You're really very sweet, he tells Wei Wuxian, holding both his hands for a moment and making sure he has his full attention. If they murder you and not me, I'll visit your grave all the time and make sure no one forgets how you gave your life for a piece of Lan Wangji. I'll tell them you died a hero. Wei Wuxian's still slightly lost expression cracks into a grin at that. Good. He's in there somewhere. Just high off both drugs and the rarefied experience of touching Lan Dick. That's fine. That will work itself out. And Huaisang doesn't have to attend to it right now. He stretches out on his back and lets Jiang Cheng cozy up alongside him and push aside the rest of his clothes to stroke him slow and tight and good, just the way Huaisang likes it. Too slow to really get off on at first, so he can lean into enjoying the sensation of it. Jiang Cheng has very good sword calluses. Huaisang might be a little in love with them, since he's so assiduously avoiding ever developing any real ones of his own. Wei Wuxian curls up at the other end of the bed and watches them. He slips a hand into his own pants, palming his cock lazily, but his eyes are distant. Somewhere else, and Huaisang doesn't have to work very hard to figure out where. Rude to ask for a show and then not pay attention to it. Huaisang arches his back and lets himself really get into it, bossing Jiang Cheng into pulling him to the edge and then stopping. He hovers at the edge for a moment, electric, and then tips back from the brink. Pants and licks his lips as he comes down into a safer plateau and watches Jiang Cheng watching him. And Wei Wuxian not watching him. Not really. Fuck it. He can feel Jiang Cheng's dick trying valiantly to rejoin the proceedings, stirring against his thigh. He'll take that as tribute enough to his charms for the moment. Again, he tells Jiang Cheng. This time he ignores Wei Wuxian to give Jiang Cheng his full attention and demand as much back. He wants Jiang Cheng to kiss him, wants Jiang Cheng fucking his mouth with his tongue, even as he starts to work over Huaisang's cock again, wants everything and gets it, finally jerking his hips and spilling messily over Jiang Cheng's hand. In the aftermath, he's boneless, sprawls breathlessly, and doesn't even complain when Jiang Cheng licks at his hand idly and then wipes the rest of the sticky mess on Huaisang's bared stomach. Kisses Jiang Cheng again, softer and sweeter. They taste like each other now, and that's extremely hot. But also, Huaisang is not prepared to sweat again tonight. In the sudden cessation of his own heavy breathing, he can hear Wei Wuxian behind him. From the sound, he's been enjoying whatever show is playing in his head, if not the one they were putting on for him. His hand is moving fast now. He's gasping a little bit. Huaisang turns his head to take in Wei Wuxian's look of concentration, the red of his lower lip where he's biting it, the pretty tip of his dick just visible peeking out of his trousers. Terrible impulse squeezes Huaisang, part hilarity and part spite, and he pushes himself up onto one elbow, tries for his very best imitation of Lan Wangji, and he says sharply, "Wei Ying, how improper!" Wei Wuxian shudders and comes all over his own hand and stomach and the bed, his free hand practically ripping a hole in the bedding. Huaisang watches avidly. It's a very pretty picture. Beside his ear, Jiang Cheng whispers, "What the fuck, Huaisang? What the fuck, Wuxian?" Wei Wuxian doesn't say anything. He never does. Cumming reliably turns his language abilities off for at least 30 seconds. But his entire body also radiates what the fuck energy. He stares at his own mess like he's never had an orgasm before. A fact Huaisang knows from close-up and personal experience to be absolutely false. This is hilarious, but it also makes Huaisang feel tender. He decides to forgive Wei Wuxian for his inattention. He reaches for him, careful to get him by a part of his arm that's not covered with questionable bodily fluids, and yanks him up the bed toward them. He gets Wei Wuxian settled back between Huaisang and Jiang Cheng, where he'd started the night. They're all considerably stickier than they were. The whole bed probably needs to be set on fire in the morning. But they need to take care of Wei Wuxian before they can think about cleanup. Wei Wuxian burrows, hiding his face. Huizong, in an expansively excellent mood now, whispers to Jiang Cheng over Wei Wuxian's shoulder.
Ah, Cheng, I broke him, he says. We have to fix him.
Jiang Cheng is still quivering with barely suppressed outrage and confusion. His face is threatening storms, but his arm comes up automatically to loop over Wei Wuxian's waist. His fingers tangle with Huizong's, and they squeeze Wei Wuxian between them. This is something they all know how to do together. Wei Wuxian melts even further into the bed, with a small, frantic, "Oh my God!" as his brain starts functioning again.
"What the fuck, Asian?"
Jiang Cheng croons softly in his ear.
"What the fuck?"
Huizong tries not to cackle. There's going to be so much time to make fun of Wei Wuxian in the morning. He is going to make fun of him forever if they don't all get murdered for ruining Lan Wangji and offending Lan Xichen's delicate sensibilities. He squeezes Jiang Cheng's hand, makes a few soothing, nonsensical sounds to try to bring Wei Wuxian back to the land of the living, and settles himself to the task of thinking of a very good lie to save them all when the sun comes up. He'll think of something. There's plenty of time. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!